Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and related how do we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because I have football tickets that we'll be giving away later in the hour. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is taking action. We'll learn lessons from each of my guests about taking action in one form or another. My first guest is a groundbreaking consultant and author of 5 best-selling books on empowering men and women. We'll discuss actions you can take to gain respect and lead the successful life you've always wanted. My second guest is a journalist who writes for the National Review and the Wall Street Journal and many other publications. We'll look at violence in football. No, not modern football. Football at the turn of the 20th century. He'll show us how President Theodore Roosevelt took action to save the game from his book titled The Big Scrum. My third guest is a youthful, determined evangelist for taking action. He works with leaders around the world to flip their thinking, help them find opportunities where others cannot, and to create innovative approaches to change. We'll discuss his latest book, Making It Happen, Turning Good Ideas into Great Results. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Lois Frankel is president of Corporate Coaching International, a Pasadena, California-based consulting firm. She literally wrote the book on coaching people to succeed in businesses large and small around the globe. Her Nice Girl series of books, Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office and Nice Girls Don't Get Rich, are international bestsellers translated in over 35 languages worldwide. Lois's other books, Stop Sabotaging Your Career and See Jane Lead, are manifestos for taking charge at work and in life. Lois co-wrote her latest book, Nice Girls Don't Get It, with Carol Frohlinger. Lois is a sought-after public speaker for her engaging practical presentations. She's appeared on lots of different shows, including Today, Larry King, CNN, Fox News. The list goes on and on. She received her undergraduate degree from the State University of New York at Oswego. She received her doctorate from the University of Southern California, and she was awarded an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters from Phillips Graduate Institute. Welcome to the show, Lois. How are you today?
I'm good, Billy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and it's fun to talk about your book, Nice Girls Just Don't Get It, 99 Ways to Win the Respect You Deserve, the Success You've Earned, and the Life That You Want. I like the double entendre in the title of the book, but let's start first, Lois, if we can, by defining what do you mean by nice girls? What is a nice girl?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked me because so many times women say, I'm not going to read that book because she kind of espouses being nasty and negative. It's far from that. A nice girl, and by the way, I am a recovering nice one, a nice girl is someone who acts according to the messages she was taught were appropriate in childhood for little girls. So, you know, smile, be pleasant, you know, don't rock the boat. Children are to be seen and not heard. Boys won't like you if you're too aggressive. You know, those kinds of things. And when women take those messages into adulthood and they don't add new behaviors that will balance them, then they don't get the things they want. So, you know, as I always say, Billy, nice is necessary for success. It's just not sufficient.
All right. And it's always good to be nice. I mean, you're not talking about being impolite or anything of that nature. But why do you think that women have a harder time than men do asserting themselves and getting the respect that they deserve?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. You know, number one, because we're not taught it in childhood. You know, for most of us, we're not taught it in childhood. You know, our brothers are taught stand up for yourself. You know, if somebody picks on you, go back and beat them up. You know, girls are taught, you know, to kind of turn the other cheek and be nice. And again, there's those childhood messages. And by the way, even parents who give their daughters the right messages about be assertive, stand up for yourself, and so forth. When those girls go to school, by the time they're in preschool, all bets are off because they're getting different messages from their teachers. Then we have the media, Billy. We have the media that are telling girls, young girls at times, and women, how they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to act, you know, what is the ideal. And then you get to the workplace, and there's different rules for men and women, and women don't understand that. They don't understand when they do things in the same way a guy might do it, she's called, you know, it's far from the A word, it's the B word.
Right.
And, you know, guys are called assertive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's a combination of factors that are at play here.
All right. And now, what are some of the common ways that women fail to assert themselves? Give us some examples, if you will, Lois.
Yeah. A couple of examples are, for example, if a woman has an opinion, she wants to give an opinion, she'll put it in the form of a question. Because a question is softer than just putting it out directly. So there's one way that her voice doesn't get heard. A woman tends to use more words than a man. Okay, you know, and by some studies, it's anywhere between 18% and 30% more words than men use.
Right.
What women want to understand is the more words you use, you always soften a message. The fewer words you use, you strengthen your message. So there's another way women don't have their voices heard. Something else is just waiting. Like, for example, they may be in a meeting or they may be at home. You know, it happens everywhere. Or a woman will wait to be asked her opinion. Or a woman will wait to be asked what she really wants in a certain situation. Well, sometimes you wait and you're never asked. And the other thing is people who wait aren't seen as the people who are the go-getters, the people who are high potential, the people who, you know, are the movers and shakers that we should look out for. So those are just a few things I think that women do that would be really easy for them to turn around.
All right. Now, it's interesting. We're talking to Lois Frankel, everybody, author of the book Nice Girls Just Don't Get It. And it's interesting, you mentioned earlier an example in business where if men are aggressive, they're considered assertive, and if women are aggressive, they're considered the B word. But a lot of women in business really exhibit what's called passive-aggressive behavior. What's the root cause of that?
Yeah, you know, passive-aggressive behavior is exhibited by people who feel as if they have no power or control. And for your listeners, you know, passive-aggressive people are people who are on the surface appear to be passive. They appear to be going along with things, but that in reality, they're acting very aggressively. So it might be the coworker who you ask, gee, can you cover for me at lunch because I need to run an errand? And the person resents it but says, yeah, okay, fine. And then you come back and find out she didn't cover for you at all. The phones were ringing off the hook and the boss is wondering what's going on. And you get blamed because you thought you had your bases covered, but she just didn't want to tell you, no, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it, or I don't think it's fair, or whatever. So, yeah, and it's interesting. We do tend to see more women who are passive-aggressive, but it also can be a cultural thing. Like, for example, I do a lot of work in Asia. And I see it amongst the Asians because they don't want others to lose face. So rather than tell you no, they'll tell you yes to everything. You just may or may not get what you want.
Very interesting story. We're talking to Lois Frankel, author of the book Nice Girls Just Don't Get It. And in your book, Lois, what I like is you've got some real practical remedies there. You give 7 strategies. And get this, no less than 99 tactics for handling life's most challenging people and the most challenging situations. So let's go through the strategies, if we will, please. What are some strategies that women can, men too, can start implementing right away to become a little bit more assertive, get the respect that they deserve?
Yeah, I think the first thing and the first strategy in the book is about evaluating the past and envisioning the future. And, I mean, that's intentionally put first because until you know what you want, you're not going to get it. It's like, you know, the line from Alice in Wonderland, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think for women in particular, it's hard to get them to tell you what do they want because they are so used to being for others and making sure others are taken care of and kind of like, you know, watching the terrain and trying to figure out what should I be doing so nobody gets mad at me. So I think this first this first strategy of evaluating the patch. Now, where have I been? And understanding that that doesn't mean that that's where I have to go, where I've been. But my past will often give me clues to why I act as I do today. You know, as I tell women, think about them, and I tell men this too, think about the messages you got in childhood that contributed to your greatest strengths. And I wouldn't want you to undo those strengths, but you are probably over-relying on them to the exclusion of developing complementary behaviors that are really going to round out your skill set. So, and then the second part of that is envisioning the future. And again, you know, I've just seen it happen in my life. The minute I gained clarity on what I wanted, I could find the path to get there. And until I had that clarity, nothing happened. It's like the Goethe quote, the German philosopher Goethe, who said, you know, until one is committed, there's always hesitancy, the chance to draw back. But the minute one commits oneself, then providence moves too. And I think that's very true.
All right. So knowing where you're going is a great first step, and understanding where you, what got you to where you are. That's the first step. What's the next in your series?
Next step is to build relationships that work for you. Now, it's interesting because women are really good at building relationships. They're not good at using them. In other words, you know, they may build relationships, you know, 360-degree relationships, but they'll never ask for a favor. They'll never cash in a chip. And so, you know, it's great to build the relationships, but women don't quite understand in the same way that men do that there's a quid pro quo to every relationship. There's something in exchange for something else inherent to every relationship. So that when you do favors, you're collecting chips, you know, and at some point, you may not always need to cash in that chip, but at some point, you're allowed to go back and say, you know, would you be willing to help me out? You know, a good example is, Billy, you know, you and I, just by nature of this phone call, are in a relationship, and you were very generous to have me on your show, and you've collected a chip from me. And if someday down the road you called and said, you know what, you may remember we talked, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, would you be willing to help me with XYZ? You know what? I'm probably going to do it because we're in a relationship now.
Well, expect a call sometime in the future, Lois. You can be sure of that. But I'm going to come back to this because managing relationships, I think you hit the nail on the head when you say women are much better than men at starting relationships. But the cultural norm is that you must be, for women at least, you must be friends with everybody. You can't, you know, alienate anybody else and so forth. How do you work with somebody whose relationships no longer works for you or maybe never worked for you in the beginning?
Yeah, and we actually talk about it in the book. Carol Froelinger, my co-author, she really taught me something about understanding the nature of relationships. She's an attorney. And she said, you have to understand that some relationships are personal and some are transactional, Lois. You know, a transactional relationship, you know, there might be some who would say this relationship you and I are in right now is transactional. There's a transaction happening. So that the expectation on either part is not that great. On the other hand, Billy, if we were next-door neighbors, it would probably be more of a personal relationship, and our expectations of each other would be greater. So what women have to understand is that when it's a transactional relationship, you don't have to put so much energy into it. See, women put similar amounts of energy into every relationship. So the first step is to really differentiate a transactional relationship from a more personal one. And the other one is to say, hey, if the quid pro quo isn't being met, it's time for me to walk away. And women have a hard time walking away. They think, you know, once in a relationship, always in a relationship. But I forget who said it. It might have been Gloria Vanderbilt. I don't remember exactly who said it, but there was a famous woman one time who said, you know, friendships are like closets. Every once in a while, you need to clean them out. And certainly over the course of my life, I've learned that. You know, the people who are close to me now aren't the same people who were close to me 30 years ago.
Very good. We're talking to Lois Frankel, everybody, co-author of the book, Nice Girls Just Don't Get It. And Lois, one of the things that I took away from your book is one of the seven strategies is craft meaningful messages. And you've got a system in there, write your description to handle confrontations. And I found that this was very useful. You mind sharing that with our listeners?
Absolutely, because this really is good for men and women, and it's one of the techniques that people tell me really works for them. And so if the listeners can just, you know, kind of picture the letters D as in David, or D as in describe, E as in explain, S as in specify, and C as in consequences. So if you were just, you know, before you enter into a difficult conversation, write down your descript. So describe, why do I want to have a conversation with you? Well, it might be, you know, Billy, I'd like to have a conversation about something that happened when we went on our trip last week. Not that we went on a trip, you know.
Right. Well, we're using that as an example.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just laying out, you know, like, okay, why do I want to talk to you? E. And E explains, it stands for explain and elicit. So explain my viewpoint and elicit yours. So I might say, you know, Billy, when we were in that client meeting last week, I felt as if every time I went to open my mouth, I was interrupted by you. And it made me really uncomfortable. I'm wondering how you saw it. And now, see, I elicit your viewpoint, and I listen to you, and all I have to do is listen. I don't have to agree. I don't have to argue. I don't have to disagree. I just listen. And then once I get your viewpoint, I move into this specifying what I really want. So I might say something like, oh, so you didn't realize that you were doing that. Oh, okay, I can understand that. Okay, well, let me tell you what would work for me in the future when we go on sales calls together. So now I'm specifying. And the C stands for consequences. And those consequences could be positive or negative. And most often you want to use positive consequences. So it'd be, you know, Billy, I think if we can get to that place, I think that we're going to get a lot more sales. And that's what we both want. So that's how the descript works.
And that is a great system, the DESC description method. And it's described in Nice Girls Just Don't Get It by Lois Frankel. Lois, if people like what they hear and they want to learn more than we can get into in this interview, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, there's a couple places. The first would be nicegirlsjustdon'tgetit.com, and that's the website for this particular book. And they can take a free How Nice Are You inventory. And then on my own website, drloisfrankel.com, I have inventories from my other books. And they're all free, and people can just go on and kind of assess themselves in the areas of leadership or assertiveness or niceness. And I really encourage them to do that.
Now, that is great. We've been talking to Lois Frankel, co-author of the book Nice Girls Just Don't Get It, 99 Ways to Win the Respect You Deserve, the Success You've Earned, and the Life That You Want. Lois, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
I hope so. It was a pleasure. Take care.
Pleasure.